Glory to Jesus Christ! Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish presents Light of the East, a program revealing how the Eastern Catholic Churches have nourished the Roman Catholic Churches and today's world in profound ways through their histories, traditions, mysteries, and spirituality. Hello, I am Father Thomas J. Loya, pastor of Annunciation of the Mother of God Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois, and this is a story of the Eastern Churches, an inspiring story of faith, courage, intrigue, mystery, spirituality, dissension, and reconciliation. But most of all, this is an expression of a great experience of faith through our unique divine liturgy. Join with me now as we look toward the Light of the East.
Light of the East is also underwritten by a grant from the charitable Koch Foundation, whose vision is to strengthen and propagate the Catholic faith by providing grant support for a wide variety of evangelization efforts. Learn more at KochFoundation.org. Koch spelled K-O-C-H. And Light of the East is also supported by Eastern Christian Publications, where you can find the prayers of the Catholic Byzantine Daily Office at ecpubs.com and easternchristianmedia.com. A broadband network. For you to learn more about the Eastern Catholic Churches, that's easternchristianpublications.com.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Welcome to Light of the East. I'm Father Thomas Loya, your host. Well, the lazy, hazy days, as the song goes, of summer are upon us. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure you are too. However, some of you who are parents are probably not looking forward to, nor am I as a spiritual parent, father of a church. Am I or you looking forward to what sometimes is a World War III, especially for our young ladies, our teenage girls, in terms of how to dress appropriately for church, even though it is, of course, the lazy, hazy, hot days of summer? It's one of those issues that's one of the most impenetrable issues I find. Young ladies do not want to be told how to dress or how not to dress. There's something very, very impenetrable about that topic. Not for every young lady, but for many. Enough that sometimes, as a pastor during the summertime, I have to give the talk, as it were. I have to address it from the pulpit. Not always, but sometimes I do. And so I have a concern in this as well. And why is it an issue? And the fact that it's an issue and how to deal with it is actually very, very important, because it's tied to many things. Our understanding of liturgy, of God, of appropriateness of our bodies, especially the female body, of art and architecture, of veils and vestments and things in church. Yes, it involves all of that. So we have to kind of lay a foundation. And the foundation I want to lay here and the principle I want to communicate will be found, as always, in the liturgy of the church, East and West. But for our purposes here at Light of the East, we will focus on the Eastern Catholic liturgies, their art, their architecture, and so on. As always, remember, when we go to church, especially when we enter into the Eucharistic liturgy, all services in the church, but especially the Eucharistic liturgy, East or West, what we're doing is we're entering into what is the blueprint, the source of all of life, of what is right and wrong, how to be. Yeah, that's right. That's what liturgy is. See, liturgy informs life. It informs all of life. It's not just something that remains contained within the walls of a church. And afterwards, we're basically, it's sort of out of sight, out of mind. We just kind of live like anyone else or however we want to live. Liturgy is our entrance into reality, into the truth, into the sum total of the truth of God's revelation, of what it is to be human, what life is all about, how it should be. That's right. That's why it's so important that liturgy be correct and every aspect of it be correct, from the very outside tippy top of a church building all the way to what goes on inside, how it looks, how it smells, how we act, and how we dress in it. All of that is significant because it is the wellspring of God's revelation, of God's wisdom. Liturgy informs life, and in turn, life informs liturgy. Liturgy reflects life, and life is about God. Remember, we take a sacramental view to everything. That's one of the big points we offer here in Light of the East, a sacramental or liturgical view to all of life. In other words, we see everything as somehow revealing, participating in, pointing to the heavenly reality. Nothing is just as it seems. And so we can take that view that liturgy gives us, especially the Eucharistic liturgy, and we can use that as the formula, as the reference point, especially for touchy issues such as this one. I know it's a very touchy issue, but it is an important one. So let's look at some aspects of this. Let's look at our foundation, and we'll come to some of our principles that I propose to be answers that might help parents, even help me and other pastors as well, because many pastors will talk about this issue, how to address it, they're afraid to address it, but it can be an issue. I know during the summer months, people want to be comfortable. However, I have a question. Remember, if you want to be comfortable during the summer, hot summer months, that's okay. But I ask you this, do you not come from an air-conditioned home, for most part, into an air-conditioned car, into an air-conditioned church? And after church, you get back into the air-conditioned car, you go to maybe an air-conditioned restaurant or some other place, or back home to your air-conditioned homes. So the necessity to dress in a way where you're really cool, staying cool, is not as urgent as we might think, because we move from air-conditioned environment to air-conditioned environment for the most part. Not that we can't still dress cool and appropriate for the summer, but the urgency to be cool by way of dress is not as urgent as we may think. Some of it has to do with just kind of being stylish. So we have to remember that our approach to liturgy, it starts there. How do we approach liturgy? How do we understand it? You know, sometimes I have to admit, as a pastor, it kind of breaks my heart when I see dress that may not be appropriate for church in the summer months. And again, I'm talking specifically about the ladies, or in particular about them, but not exclusively about them. There can be inappropriate dress for the men too, but it's much, much more an issue, let's face it, for the ladies, the young ladies. It breaks my heart as a pastor whenever I see some people maybe not dress appropriately for liturgy, especially the ladies. They want to be cool. They're wearing these summer dresses or whatever outfits, short skirts and so on. And then I might see them at some other event, some other church-related event or formal event in which they're dressed to the nines. They even have like a long gown. I thought, well, they can't be very comfortable in that. They can't be very cool in that. And it kind of breaks my heart. Because I'm thinking, for this other event, and maybe it's because it's an event where people are being known or recognized by other people and they want to have a good sort of presentation or whatever, that they'll dress appropriately for that, even if it is uncomfortable or not as cool in terms of temperature. But yet, to enter God's house and to enter into that heavenly liturgy, which is what is going on at church, that's really what's happening. You're not just there attending church. You're not just catching a mass on the fly. You're not just satisfying an obligation. You are entering into a special, mystical moment where you are taking your place. Me too. We all take our place along with the angels in heaven at the heavenly liturgy. And we do that precisely through the earthly mass or liturgy, the Eucharistic liturgy especially. And just imagine how glorious those angels must look in heaven as they're surrounding the altar of God in heaven. Well, we need to have the same attitude. We got into this sort of casualness about church and a lot of things where most any kind of dress seems to be okay or appropriate. Jeans used to be considered to be a work clothes for dirty work. Now they're considered to be kind of prestigious and stylish. Even jeans where they purposely tear holes in them. That's amazing for me. Jeans you normally would throw away a long time ago now became like a style, a fad. You actually paid money for them. So things have changed and they become much more casual. In fact, I would like to propose the idea that part of the reason we needed a Eucharistic revival in the church was because we did get casual about things, about the way churches look, the way we dress in them, the way we act in them. So if we're casual about something, that means what we're attending is kind of casual or not such great shakes. But when we understand that we are attending being in the presence of, a transformative participation in the heavenly liturgy, where God himself is physically present in our midst, if we actually thought that and believed that, certainly we would have to dress accordingly, just the same way as we address accordingly or appropriately to some other kind of public event that we value. So it starts with our attitude about liturgy, what liturgy really is, what is going on there, and how to then address appropriately. If you come into a church, especially if it is well designed, well decorated, it seems like a holy place. Especially in the Eastern churches, for example, we usually have floor-to-ceiling iconography. We have candles and chandeliers, and we have incense and beautiful appointments. The censers we have are even fancy. They have bells on them and so on. In other words, we decorate our churches and design our churches so that they are, in effect, heaven on earth, mystically speaking. Mystical means factual, means real. And we enter into that moment, and because we do, we want everything to reflect that from floor to ceiling, certain kind of architecture, certain kind of art, certain kind of gesture. And so it becomes kind of, in a sense, odd or almost inconsistent to enter into a richly decorated Byzantine Catholic Church without appearing in a commensurate way. In other words, appearing casual. You're not entering into something that is casual. You're entering into something that is of the highest order, just as we look at going to a ball, a dance, or a wedding reception as being a very high order, so we dress appropriately. Well, so much more so when we're actually entering the heavenly liturgy by means of a richly decorated church. We're not talking about opulence or richness in terms of decadence. We're talking about giving our best to God, making the atmosphere seem holy and glorious and precious. When you enter into that, you can't help but dress appropriately, at least if you really understand or care about what is going on. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this approach to proper dress for liturgy, especially for our ladies. We'll get a little more specific, and hopefully it will be a positive foundation for you and maybe help to avoid some of the World War III that can go on between parents and their teenage daughter during the summertime on the way to church. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
Every day, Father Loya posts a brief 2-minute Facebook video on the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish homepage. You'll be amazed at what you can learn just by watching. Light of the East mission is Christianity's reunion, and to tell the story of the Eastern lung of the Catholic Church, we need your support. In order to keep Light of the East on the air, you can make a donation now by going to ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com. And then donate securely using any major credit card. With your help, we can keep Light of the East's illumination bright. Every weekday morning, including Saturdays, on Facebook, Father Loya talks about everyday issues through the perspective of Byzantine Catholicism. For example,
we've been talking for the last several days about how divided we are as a nation, marriages, nations within America and so on. Such a divided country. And we said because one of the reasons is we've forgotten how to communicate and communicate as persons.
Then, on Wednesdays, Father Tom's alter ego, Southside Joe, gives his everyman Southside Chicago Byzantine Catholic perspective on what may be concerning you.
Hey, it's Wednesday. You know what that means? I get to get my 2 cents in. Whether you like it or not. You know, the priest's been talking about communication, especially about getting the message. Make sure you get the message from the person. Check in with them. Make sure you got it right.
Visit the Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish Facebook homepage every morning for just another way to think about things.
You know, I love being a Byzantine Catholic.
I'm Ann Weber from the Catholic Spirit Radio Network, and you're listening to Light of the East.
You are listening to the Choirs of Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church under the direction of Timothy Woods in Homer Glen, Illinois. This is the music you hear on Light of the East and is sung during the sacred liturgy at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish. Order online at ByzantineCatholic.com. All we ask is a donation of $20 or more. which includes shipping and handling, to Annunciation Parish for each Theosis CD. Send a check made out to Annunciation Parish at 14610 Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. And may God grant you.
Welcome back to Light of the East. I'm Father Thomas Lawyer, your host on these now hazy, lazy days of summer. We're talking about appropriate dress for church, which can oftentimes be a war in the household on the way to church between parents and especially their teenage daughters. Now, I understand this, but we still have to offer principles. And that's what I want to do. It's not just about, you're not wearing this, you get back in your room and change that. It's not about the parents just telling a teenage daughter what to wear, how to wear. It's about presenting the principles behind how we dress. Because how we dress expresses our interior. Remember, just as John Paul II taught so beautifully about the theology of the body, about physical things reveal interior things, spiritual things. How we dress is not just a physical thing, pieces of cloth we put over our bodies. They are symbols that make present our interior disposition. How we look at something, how we understand something, how we want to present ourselves. And that's why appropriate dress, especially for church, is important. Now, about the body, many people think, and sometimes especially young ladies think, that when they're asked to dress modestly, that they're being asked to somehow maybe be ashamed of their bodies, or their body is something that has to be concealed because it's dirty or shameful or always an occasion for lust or something like that. It's a very negative kind of reaction they have, which I understand. And this is why I'm addressing it with these principles, which come from the liturgy of the church itself, as always. But we have to take a different approach to the body. And again, I'm going to go deep into the liturgy. If we think about, whether East or West, think about the chalice and how the chalice, especially the gifts, you know, the sacred gifts, the body and blood of Christ, is handled and presented during the Mass or during benediction in the Western Church, or during the pre-sanctified liturgy in the Eastern churches. Think about that. How is it handled? How is the chalice arrayed? How is it presented? Have you ever noticed? There's covers over it. And even the vestments of the priest covers his body. In fact, in the Eastern churches, our vestments are cut a certain way where they kind of conceal our hands. Again, not because our hands are bad or unworthy, but for the reason of that they are special. Even though they're going to do something special, they're not the center of it all. God is. And so the action of our own hands by the priest, while important, is not the focus. The focus is the action of the Holy Spirit. So we actually cut the vestments to sort of de-emphasize the hands, to emphasize that they're going to do something special, but at the same time to de-emphasize them in light of the presence of God in the liturgy, in the Eucharist. So what we do in the church is we veil things because they're special, but we also unveil them at certain times for certain eyes, for a certain disposition. Look at even the case of benediction in the Western church. When the priest transfers the host to the monstrance and places it out in front to be exposed and to be incensed and prayed to and bowed to, how does he do that? Does he just grab it with his bare hands? You've noticed he puts on a certain kind of cope over his shoulders, which cascades down around his arms and actually hides his hands. He actually touches and picks up the monstrance with his hands covered. In other words, his hands don't directly touch the monstrance. Now, you can't get more covered or veiled than that. And why is that? Is the monstrance bad or dirty? Or are his hands bad or dirty or shameful? No, it's the opposite. The monstrance is special. And so just like the tabernacle in the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament and the tabernacle in the modern day Christian churches, the Catholic and Orthodox churches, we don't touch them. Or we touch them very, very reverently and only by certain hands. It's a sign of their being special, reverent. We only approach them by certain persons for the loftiest or holiest of reasons. and they are beheld only by eyes that have the right disposition. It's even the case in the church, in both East and West, where catechumens are dismissed halfway through the liturgy, before the liturgy comes to the Eucharistic prayer, or in the Byzantine church, we call it the anaphora. In other words, the idea is that, as the fathers of the church taught us, those who are not yet initiated into the church through baptism, chrismation, and Eucharist cannot even gaze upon the sacred mysteries. Can you imagine that? You're not even ready to even gaze upon them. That's why you're dismissed from the church. It's not an insult. It is an affirmation of the utter sacredness of these mysteries, that we cannot even look upon them unless we have the gaze of those who are initiated into the church. And so the catechumens are dismissed at that point. So you see, this is all a very, very positive thing. It has nothing to do with people or things being negative or dirty or shameful. So the Eucharist, the chalices, things like that are covered in the church, but uncovered for certain eyes who have certain dispositions towards that Eucharist. In other words, you are a believer. You are initiated into the church. You are a believer. So you can approach that Eucharist, but only in the most reverent way. Well, so it is with our bodies, especially the body of our young ladies. We ask them to cover it, not head to toe, but to cover it appropriately, especially for church, not because their bodies are shameful or an occasion of sin, but because they're special. And remember, things that are special are veiled and covered in the church, but not covered totally or always. They are unveiled at certain times for certain eyes, certain appropriate eyes, who have a certain appropriate disposition towards that which they are beholding. And so it is with the bodies of our ladies, our young ladies especially. Their bodies are special. So they cover them, but they also uncover them at certain points for certain reasons, in different ways and places that are appropriate. But in church, we cover them. And I'm not talking about wearing burkas or being covered head to toe. I want to emphasize that. But there is a certain appropriateness. I know there's a fine line there between what is modest and what is appropriate style. But if you follow these principles from the liturgy itself, from what the church does, you can discern what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. Now we're going to bring in a little bit of artistic principles here. My background is in art, and I can reveal some of these to you. In art, it's a matter of seeing, of eye-mind coordination, how we see things. So what becomes important is how an artist presents something, how he wants you to see it, and how you do, in fact, receive it or see it. John Paul II talked about this in his Theology of the Body, that the body itself, even the naked human body, which is used oftentimes in Catholic art, such as the Sistine Chapel, it was used in pagan art. It's a fundamental motif in art, the human body in various forms of clothing or even naked. And he said, the naked human body in and of itself is not bad, shameful, or wrong, or an occasion of sin. It is how it is presented and how it is received. So in presenting something, what the artist does, whether it's a style of clothing, a painting, a sculpture, or even a piece of architecture, a building, when an artist or architect designs something, that artist or architect understands the principles of seeing, of how your eye is directed. And so the artist can direct your eye in ways that are very, very prudent and beautiful and moral. Or he can direct your eyes in such ways that incites impurity. In other words, it incites a certain focus only on certain areas of the body, and in particular, the body of a woman. So what girls sometimes don't understand is that based on how the dress or whatever they're wearing is designed, it can either allow the eye of the observer to what John Paul II calls move through the entire person. In other words, the entire body. See them as a person, an embodied person, embodied soul, in an integrated way. They either will look at it that way, depending on how the dress is designed, or that dress can be designed to accentuate certain parts of the body. In other words, to what we call in art, trap the sight, trap the mind, the view, at certain parts of the body. And that becomes then using the body. In other words, forgetting that this body is part of a person that needs to always be respected and loved as a person and not just seen in terms of particular body parts. And what the young ladies don't understand is that when you wear certain clothes that will kind of accentuate certain parts of you, that you're not being seen and respected the way you should be. You might think or know someone is finding you attractive. Okay, that's all right. But they're finding you attractive in a way that is not respecting you as a person. They're finding parts of you more attractive than others, rather than your whole person. And all this is done by how something is designed. Artists, fashion designers, anyone in those creative fields, architects, whoever, photographers, they know these principles. That's what makes them who they are. They're schooled in these principles, and they know them intuitively just by their gift as a creative person. They know how to move your eye, which I call eye-mind coordination. They know how to move it. It will either be moved in a very graceful, sacramental way, an integrated way, or it will be moved in a way that kind of interrupts that and focuses on things in which you are not going to be seen as a person and seen for your value and seen that your body is special. Just a few tips here. We can talk a lot more about this, but I hope this helps during the hazy days of summer. I'm Father Thomas Loya on Light of the East.
To hear Light of the East again, visit ByzantineCatholic.com and click on the Resources tab and on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening to Light of the East. We encourage you to tell a friend about Light of the East and to visit ByzantineCatholic.com. Light of the East is produced by ADC Media.
Thank you for listening. Next week, we will return to the Light of the East. To learn more about Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, visit our website, ByzantineCatholic.com, where you will also find an archive of all of our programs. In order to continue Light of the East with its mission of Christianity's reunion, we need your support with a donation. Any amount will be a blessing. Please make out a check to Light of the East Radio and send it to Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois, 60491. That's Light of the East, 14610 Wilcook Road, spelled Will-Cook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Or donate online on the homepage of ByzantineCatholic.com. From the Light of the East, a new dawn of unity is in sight. God bless you, go with God, and may God grant you many happy years.